Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. Hello to my people over in Taylor and Talbot County. How about Commissioner Huff over in Talbot County? How you doing, my friend? I hope things are well. I hope things are going well over there in that part. And again, we are still praying for those that were impacted by the tornado. I'm praying that things are coming back together. I'm Pastor Vinton Copeland over at Powell Baptist Church in Talbot County. I hope you're doing good as well, my friend. And my people near in Alabama, near Lee County, we're still praying that you're recovering well as well. And you guys, we got to keep our eye on this weather because, you know, we're going into the summer months. Hurricane season starts next month, but it's not uncommon for a disturbance to whip up in mid to late May. So let's just keep our eyes on that. You know, it's that time of year where summertime, we want to have fun. We tend to be a little bit more loose, a little bit more relaxed, you know, enjoying ourselves. And things happen, and so we just have to make sure we're mindful of that. But this is also the time of year of graduation season. Congratulations to all my peeps that are graduating out there from high school, from college. You know, I got friends getting ready to go to medical school, and kids that I've mentored and worked with getting ready to go to college, and it's just so amazing. And let's not forget about our babies graduating from kindergarten, heading to first grade. You know, they're about to go to the big school now, so we got to make sure we show them some love too. But graduation season is always an amazing season because it's a season of accomplishment. It's a season of doing something great. After we've watched our kids ballot it out on the gridiron during football season and then dribble it out for the basketball season, and we will not forget this historic season at Carver High School where the boys and the girls won the state championship in basketball. I tell you, this has truly been a marvel academic year for us here in Muskogee County, and we're so excited about that. But as we continue to transition on, and as our children get ready to transition, whether it's to college, to work, to a technical school, to a trade school, wherever they're going, we have to always remember to remind them to not forget what as parents, what we teach them, and to not forget that they are adults now, many of them, especially those graduating from high school, and you will be held responsible for your actions and for your consequences. And too often, you know, we see where dreams are diverted or deferred because someone does something that they later on regret and hurt them in life. And I want to kind of talk about that today. I have a good friend here with me today who, you know, I begged him. I said, will you please come on the radio show with me and share your story? Because I think it's one that would be so important and so relevant to our young black males, especially one that's an athlete and looking to do great things. So he has agreed to share his story, and we're going to talk about it. It's going to get a little personal, but you know, we need to have this conversation. We need to make sure that our young men hear this, and that's why he's agreed to do this, because he doesn't want any other child from Columbus, from the West Central Georgia area, from the East Central Alabama area to experience what he went through. So we're going to talk about this today. I am glad to have with me today none other than my man, Mr. Charlie Walker. How you doing, Mr. Walker?
I'm doing great, Mr. Reese, man. I'm blessed to be here, highly favored. I can't complain too much. It always could be worse. So that phrase starts to get a little bit more personal now, because no day is given, and, you know, people are losing lives on a daily basis. So while you're here and God still has you here, you make sure you do what you have to do as far as your work and your due diligence to serve him first. But, you know, make sure you're serving the community and your friends. So I'm happy.
You know, Charlie, that is so true, everything that you just said. And unfortunately, we are not removing ourselves from this trend here in Columbus of too many of our young people either being seriously hurt or dying from gun violence.
Right.
And we got to do something to get a grasp on our community again and on our young folks. And I know it starts with intervention. I know it starts with having appropriate role models. I know it starts with us making sure that certain resources, whether it's local or whether it's state, will be diverted back to our communities. We pull so much out of our communities from an aspect of resources. We got to start putting some of it back in, to impact that.
Yes.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, I definitely agree, because, you know, I was telling you earlier about, you know, generation and generational mindset and, you know, us as people in general, you know, moving forward. There's a lot of things in life that we need to know about as far as, you know, savings and try to how to properly prepare for our future instead of living day by day. And even with numbers in school, see, in school we're taught all these different kind of maths and all this economics, but they don't teach us how to survive after school. And plus, you know, we can't blame, you know, parents and grandparents because nobody had a chance to teach them. So right now it's our chance, you know, to not only uplift ourselves, but uplift our community and, you know, give back in the way that we can, because knowledge is power.
And, you know, and it's so true that in our culture, we are consistently breaking perpetual cycles.
Right.
That we have seen, you know, within our community, within our race, within our culture, you know, cycles that are not productive cycles for us, you know. And so at some point, some generation have to be willing to say, I'm going to be the one to step out.
Right.
I'm going to be the one to step out. I'm going to be the one to make a difference. But, Charlie, I want to talk a little bit about you today. Now, you're from Columbus, right?
Right. I'm from Columbus.
Born and raised.
Well, not born here. Okay. I was born in Florida, okay. But I've been in Columbus ever since I've been a baby. My mom died when I was 3. My dad died when I was 4. So I was raised by my grandma, the youngest of 6. So pretty much I'm from here, but I attended Hardaway High School, yes.
Okay, so you went to Hardaway High School, and it's my understanding that you were somewhat of a pretty good athlete.
Yeah, I was pretty good. Played basketball, football, ran track. I was all-state, all-region by the time I was a junior. Actually played varsity and started as a sophomore. Had a lot of scholarships and some things, and I was pretty good. Played in the Georgia Florida All-Star game, too, so I did a little something out there.
Well, let me ask you this. So describe that life of a high school student that's All-American, that's blazing, you know, within multiple sports. What is that life like as a high school student?
As a high school student, I mean, you get a lot of attention. But see, you know, a lot of attention, it can bring good attention, it can bring bad attention. And see, we get caught up in the hype so much to where we forget the purpose of what we're here for, what God put us here for. But at the same time, we forget, you know, how we representing our parents and we representing our last name. And so we get caught into a crowd to where, you know, they just see the fame. They just see that you're good, not saying that they're doing the right things out here. But you kind of fall into a trend because right now you're a role model, not just to the kids, but you're a role model to people. People want to be around you. They want to know who you are. They want to know where you're going. They want to know every game that you're playing in, uh-huh. And they want to follow you. But at the end of the day, if something happens, they don't want to support you.
So a lot of attention came with that.
Yes, a lot of attention.
How did you handle that attention as a young athlete?
Be humble. Be humble. Don't forget where you're from, where you came from.
Is that how you handled it when you were in school?
Yeah, well, I definitely had to be humble at the same time. Of course, we were kids, so we all made mistakes. Right. But, you know, I couldn't let the wins get to my head and let the losses get to my heart. Okay. And so I always had coaches in my corner, being that the circumstances that I came about, that always, you know, when I start to get off track, they'll step into my life and be like, hey, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that. And so they always kept the buzz in my ear. But, you know, after, you know, not being around them, you know, it's life. And life's going to come at you in many different forms and ways. So
your senior year, you know, you're the standout athlete.
Yes.
And you're beginning to get some attention from some colleges.
Yes.
Talk us through that.
Yeah, so I was getting a lot of attention from different colleges, Louisville, Washington, Clemson, Georgia, you name it. I was going to Georgia camps and things like that. And unfortunately, following the wrong crowd, being a young adolescent, running with the wrong people, and being inspired by the wrong things, my senior year, got into some trouble a month after I graduated.
So just not to rush through this, because I want to make sure they catch this.
Yes.
I want to make sure they catch this. Here you are, a standout athlete, All-American.
Yes.
And being entertained by schools like Georgia, Clemson, some other Louisville, other big-name institutions that are looking at you. So I can only imagine, even on graduation day, and coming up to the end of your school year, you just know that you're about to go play at a big D1 school.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that was your mindset, right?
That's always in my mindset. I'm going to go, I'm getting out of here, I'm going to play for the D1 schools. So I mean,
I'm sure your mind was probably ahead of that. And when I finish at this D1 school, I'm gonna be looking at pro.
Oh yeah, I'm going to the NFL. That's the only thing that was on my mind. Going to school, getting the scholarship, and going to the NFL to fulfill my dreams, to, you know, what I've been dreaming about as a kid.
So graduation comes.
Yes.
You graduate.
Right.
People, but at this point, your grandmother had been raising you, but she passed away.
She passed away when I was 13 years old.
When you were 13.
In the middle of Ornette Middle School football season, she passed away. So that was my last lifeline as far as somebody legally being my guardian.
So you lost your mom and your dad
right.
at a very young age.
Right.
Your grandma, who had taken over custody.
Right.
You lost her in middle school years.
Yes.
And now here you are, senior in high school. You have all these big colleges looking at you.
Right.
And you're about to graduate.
Yeah.
And you graduate.
And I graduate.
What happens after graduation?
Running with the wrong crowd, Mr. Reese. Letting my head get too big for my britches, as the old people are saying. Uh-huh. I end up getting into some trouble, and I lost literally eight boxes of scholarships. Out here doing the wrong thing, following the wrong crowd, thinking, you know, I'm not so much better than everybody, but just going down that wrong road of a path to
influence,
where, influence,
peer
yes.
pressure,
peer pressure, yes.
You know,
you're the center of attention.
Being the center of attention, yeah. You know, used to being the center of attention on the athletic field. Here you are, you know, pretty much looking at a full ride to school,
right,
at a big institution,
right.
That once you hit their field is going to give you. Some a lot of attention.
Right.
A lot
right.
of attention. And you run into some trouble.
I run into some trouble.
And all of that goes out the door.
Out the door.
How did you feel about it?
Depressed, deprived. Although my parents and my grandma are in heaven, I felt like I let them down tremendously. And you know, I let our creator down because, like I said, he put me here for a purpose. Mm. But then I wasn't fulfilling my purpose because I was letting the devil get in between. So,
well, as a young person, what made you feel that you had to be around those that would ultimately bring trouble to you? Why did you have to be around?
I was the man. You know, everybody wanted to be around me. So, like I said, I was the center of attention. So, mm-hmm. I felt like I had to stand out. So, whether it was stupid thing, whether it was anything, I felt like, okay, I had to be the one to step up because people are watching me. So, now, at this point, I'm enjoying people watching me. But, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's wrong or bad, and in this case, it was bad, you know, it happened, you know, trying to stand out.
Folks often say that. You know, hindsight is 20/20.
Right.
When you look back on things, you can say, oh, now I see.
Right.
Oh, I should have seen that.
Right.
What do you think prevented you from seeing yourself in a position where you were could have been big trouble for you?
Yeah.
What is it that you think had you blinded?
The future. You know, I guess, like you said, I lost my people. So it was more of... Not so much I wasn't out here saying I don't care,
mm-hmm.
but it was more so I have nothing to lose because I felt like I lost a lot of people in my life. And so while I was
so
out here.
You were living fearlessly.
Yeah, just living fearlessly.
Would you say recklessly?
A lot of reckless things were going on. And see, at the time, especially after my grandma passed away, you know, I was the only middle schooler without a curfew. You know, I didn't have supervision at my house.
Right.
You know, I grew up into where, you know, as far as food, Mr. Reese, I had to, you know, sometimes had to steal for food. And I'm not ashamed for that. But I used to go to actual school just to get a meal, you know. And so it was hard out here. But, you know,
first of all, I want you to know this is not a judgment zone.
Yes.
And to me, you are a rock star and a hero because you're even coming in here telling this story
right.
publicly on the air so that somebody else's child.
Right.
You know, if there are mothers or grandmothers that are guardians and you have children out there, you need to have them listening to
right.
this broadcast.
Indeed.
Because they are hearing firsthand from someone that was where many of them want to be.
Right.
You know, in a position to where they're getting multiple scholarships to go play, you know, a sport, whether it's run track or play football at an institution. And to have reached that and have it all snatched from you because you chose to make a mistake as a young man.
Right, right.
I appreciate you for being willing to talk about that. Because too often our young people see all the glory and the fame and the blazz and the bajazz and everything else. But they do not see the results of mistakes.
Right.
They do not see the consequences of right. their actions.
Right.
They do not get to hear from an individual who, in the blink of an eye, almost lost everything that they had dreamed of.
Everything. It was almost like, you know, going backwards. It was like a bad dream. It was a nightmare. Because at one point I had everything.
You couldn't wake up from it.
And I couldn't wake up. But I had everything in my hands, and I lost it at a blink of an eye. Making the wrong decision, trying to impress people that don't even matter in my life at this point today.
Wow.
You know, trying to be the standout, trying to be the man. But, guys, you don't have to be the man all the time. You could just be a child of God, and that'll get you anywhere you want to go.
Wow. Charlotte Walker, we're going to take a quick break, man. I tell you, when the conversation gets good, man, I have to let my sponsors get in here because, they pay for me to be on the air. So let me get my sponsors in here, and we're going to continue this conversation. Parents, if you are listening to this, I hope you have the radios turned all the way up so that your children can hear Charlie Walker tell his story. His story of high school fame, his story of high school notoriety, his story as being a standout athlete. And a month after graduating from high school, watching it all slip away. We're going to continue the story when we come back, especially during, it's sincerely, because this is graduation season.
Right.
And we need our students to be mindful that this is not the time to get crazy. We need our children to know we still care about them and they still have a bright future. And they need to keep everything under wraps. Do not fall victim to peer pressure. Do not be a victim of your circumstances. Do not let the thugs and the drugs take you down the wrong path. That's what we're talking about today. Right. We'll be right back. This is Teddy Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. If you missed the first half of this show, I tell you, you got to go back and listen to it. I am having an amazing conversation with Mr. Charlie Walker, who is sharing his story so that other young people here in Muskogee County and in Taylor and Tobler and Marion and Chattahoochee and Sly and Lee and Russell and other parts, Harris County, LaGrange, so that they do not make the same mistake that he made. We have to learn from each other's mistakes. And what an honorable man he is to even come in here and talk about this publicly. To tell publicly his story so that he could try to save another life. You know, Charlie, that's the person I know you to be, man. You are that individual that will sacrifice embarrassment or someone listening and laughing if you can save someone's child.
That's right.
That's more important than those that will feed into the negativity.
Right.
And so I appreciate you for that. Let's pick back up, if you don't mind, where we left off. So we're at the point to where you graduated high school. A month later, you got into some trouble. You saw all the scholarships snatched away from you, and you say you just felt like your life was devastated.
Right.
You know, where did you go from there? How do you bounce back from a situation like that?
Yeah, and it was hard. I'm the youngest of six, five brothers, one sister, so I'm the youngest.
Wow.
And so, you know, wanting to be able to follow my brothers, but my brothers and sisters were older, so it kind of just left me. And so at the same time, I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do? What direction am I going to change? And at that point, you know, I had to grow up fast. You know, I was out here doing some things that I wasn't supposed to be doing after graduation, after losing all those scholarships. And the only thing I think of was, you know, how to survive. Because I'm in the real world now.
Right.
You know, and parents say when you turn 18, you got to get out of my house.
Right.
But also, you had to get out of that house, but you still have those parents supporting you throughout whatever you, you know, you're putting your mind to.
Absolutely.
But at this point, you know, the only thing I can resort to was, you know, the streets and my friends and, you know, people around me. So I end up, you know, doing some things I didn't want to do, but I end up working at Target, you know, 2 years later. Well, not 2 years, really, at that August. So I worked there for 2 years just to keep my head above water and, you know, to actually start, you know, making bit of money.
So now you're going from D1 offers, to play, you know, football, to losing your scholarships because you got in trouble, to not even being able to go to school at all.
To not going at all.
And now you're working at Target.
I'm working at Target, but then, like I said, I can't do nothing but be honest. You know, if you listen to this young people, young generation, I seen it all, you know. I was out here, like I said, doing things, illegal things I wasn't supposed to do because in my mind, I got to survive. I need money,
but,
you know.
But because you were willing to pick yourself up.
Right.
And not remain a victim.
Right.
Of the circumstances that had your dream taken away from you. You said, no, you may have cost me everything, but I will still try to live with a certain level of dignity.
Right, right, right.
And a miracle happened at Target.
Right, 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 right. And so my grandma, seriously, she's taught me everything that I had a chance to learn from when I was 6 years old all the way up until 13. And the only reason I say six because my parents passed away, out of all my brothers and sisters, we got separated. Because, you know, it was 10 people staying in a house when I got back to Columbus, Georgia. But I stayed with my aunt, my other brothers stayed with, because, you know, it's my grandma. She's an older lady. Yeah. She had to get it all together.
Yeah.
And so when I was at Target, she taught me how to cook, clean, survive, get an education. And, of course, you know what our parents do. They tell us to go get a job. So she's always installed that hard work. I used to hate it getting up every weekend, scrubbing walls. I used to be mad. She taught me how to cook by the time I was 8 years old.
It's amazing that a lot of women still think that me and Kate cook.
Oh, yeah.
When most of us, I mean, here you are, star athlete. And your grandma got you in that cooking.
Oh, yeah.
My great aunt taught me how to cook cakes and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I can burn it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know,
homemade foods, macaroni and cheese.
Absolutely.
She had us cooking, you know, at 8 years old. And I was wondering, you know, why was she, you know, on us so hard? Why was she teaching us these things where I go to other people's house and they getting plates put on the table, the parents are cooking, you know, they're cleaning their room up and things like that. And I used to be like, man, but see, I know now my grandma was setting me up to be able to prepare and handle myself just in case something was to happen to
her.
Surviving.
Surviving. And you know, and let's be honest, because, you know, you were raised by your grandmother. I was primarily raised by my mother and my grandmother. Black women have held together, in my opinion, the African-American culture for years.
Yes.
Yes, men have contributed. But if you look at the real backbone of the continuation and the development of family and growth, black women, we could never repay them.
Right.
Right now, even today, they are amongst the most discriminated group that we have here in the United States. One, because they're a woman, and two, because they're black.
Indeed. Indeed.
They're paid less on the dollar than white males and black males.
This is true.
And it's not fair.
At all.
It's totally not fair. I think about how hard my grandmother worked and how hard my mom worked. You know, as a little boy, imagine being a little boy, Charlie, and seeing your mom walk out of the house with a hard hat.
Because
that's the job she was going to, with steel toe boots on.
Right.
That was my life. My mom worked 3 part-time jobs at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we can survive. And so I know where you're coming from when you talk about the strength of black women.
Right.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So you were at Target and you're working there, and that was a day that things changed.
Yeah. So things starting to, you know, open up and change for myself. I'm working at Target. I've been there 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
My senior year, my coach left. And so he was in up in Atlanta coaching. Then he was in Auburn High School, actually in the area coaching. And this so happened when Northside opened up and, you know, he became the head coach. Didn't have no idea because I was so out of sync. I was more disappointed with myself to even follow high school football because I feel like I let myself down. I would go to Kinnett Stadium alone by myself and just sit in the cut so nobody can see me. And I'll just dream to where, okay, I let all of this go because that was, to be honest, Mr. Reese, besides my daughter, that was my first love. That's my first love. And so
it hurt
bad. So I'm in Target. 2 years go by. I haven't seen my coach. I'm in Target working in electronics. I look up, and the first person I see randomly, one's supposed to see him, I seen Dwight Jones, my coach. And instantly, I put my head down because I know I let him down. And the first thing he said to me, "What's going on? Before I left here, I left you in good hands. I left schools looking at you. I put you in a position. What happened?" So I end up telling him, you know, what happened. And he stared at me for about 2 minutes. Now, 60 seconds twice is a long time.
Yeah.
So he stared at me. I stared at him. And he said, "Look here. If you working at Target, I want you here every day. Don't miss a day. You're here every day making the right money, saving money. In the evening time, come up to Northside High School. I will allow you to use the facilities anytime that you want, but I want you to be here. If you do that, I'm going to make you a promise. I'll get you back in school." And see, that changed my life. See, he was a father figure to me. He was somebody that gave
so
me good advice.
So, you about 21, 22 at the time?
I'm 21. I'm 21 at the time.
Okay.
And so, of course, I believe his word because he showed me nothing
young.
But, yeah.
You still young.
Yeah, he showed me nothing but, you know, gratitude. So, I said, "Coach, you got a deal." He said, "If you do that, I'll get you back in school." This was in May. I went to the school every day religiously because he believed in me and I believed in him.
And you could dream again.
And I can dream again. And that's the thing. We forget to dream. That's our problem. We have something in front of us and we're passionate about it. But, you know, passion drives activity. But at this time, he gave me hope because when I was out here for those 2 years, then nobody give me hope. The worst thing that can happen is somebody saying, "Welcome home." And it's in a situation to where you don't want to be at and it's a bad situation. That's not my home.
Right.
It's not my home.
Right.
And so I did that. It started in May. In July, he had a coach fly down from Dean College, Massachusetts. I did all my 40-time bench press and everything. They gave me a scholarship right there in that gym. Coach Jones saved my life.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. And so I wanted you to tell that story because when I was talking to you, I was moved on so many different levels.
Yeah.
One, the passion in which you spoke about it.
Right.
But two, your willingness to share it.
Right.
And I just felt like other young people needed to hear this. What message would you say to all the athletes that are graduating here?
Right.
In the region, in Columbus, in the region, in all the counties surrounding us, that are looking at these big promises and big scholarships, you know, but school don't start till August.
Right.
So you're going to be at home for a little while.
Right.
What do you say to them?
Stay humble, first, far and foremost, but life is going to come at you in many different directions and many different ways, and the devil is always going to try to creep his way in to take you off track. But, you know, tough times don't last. Tough people do. And so while you're out here, if you have a passion to go to that next level, I don't care if it's playing sports. I don't care if it's playing music. Like I said earlier, passion drives activity. But see, the problem is while driving that vehicle, while driving that passion, see, we tend to leave our mindset and our heart in the passenger seat, not willingly knowing that they go hand in hand. You know, so keep it together. Don't be a leader, not a follower. Far and foremost, it's going to be different things that's going to come at you out here.
How do they handle that peer pressure?
Church, prayer, getting around those people, you know. And it's crazy, but getting around those people who think differently but think like you, whether it's somebody older as a mentor or somebody as far as even if it's your parents, if they're leading you in the right direction. See, we get to a point where we're so good that we think we don't got to listen. Mm. We think our mess don't stink. We got it made and some things like that. But stay humble because just at a blink of an eye, it can get tick away from you. But like I said, it's passion. You got to have passion for what you're doing and don't lose that passion. And of course, always, far and foremost, look to God for your needs. Get on your knees and actually pray. And you got to build your spirit up. Your spirit has to be with you in order for you to move. And that's the thing.
What do you say to those kids who feel that street cred is better than college cred?
That's the dumbest thing that you'll hear in your life. Because at the end of the day, those streets don't care about you. They don't care about you. And so that street cred, all it's going to lead you guys to, and that almost led me to, because statistically I'm supposed to be dead or in jail, but all it's going to lead you to is dead or in jail. you know. And street creds, that don't matter. College creds, that's what matters, because that's going to take you to a brighter future than what you ever dreamed of. But you got to be willing to put the work in. And see, the thing is, Mr. Reese, it's so crazy, you know, to get caught up out here. But see, we're passionate people as well.
Right.
You know, we emotional people. I mean, that's how God has us. But see, don't let the wins get to your head, and don't let the losses get to your heart. And that's the thing. We winning. Now we the man. Can't nobody do nothing with us. Can't nobody stop us. But then when something bad goes wrong, we shut down.
What would you say to those parents or community leaders or community stakeholders that are, you know, it appears and feels that some of them have given up on our young folks?
Yeah.
What do we say to the folks that who have given up, and what do we say to our leaders, you know, to get them more engaged in helping to reach our youth again?
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that seems to happen all the time. We give up. But we can't forget where we from and where we came from, because at one point we was an adolescent, a teenager as well. But see, nowadays technology is taking over the world, and, you know, things are happening as far as generation to generation. But here's the thing. To those people who are leaders, to those people, you know, who are big inspirations to the community, don't give up on these kids so easy. It's something in them. It's something in them that's going to keep them showing up. It's just you have to be able to reach them in some kind of way, and it might not be on your terms. But see, even you know, with teaching, because at one point I taught, a lot of these teachers, they talk at kids instead of talk to them. And see, kids are listening to YouTube. They're listening to things that, you know, that's unethical, that drives their spirit. But kids, you know, they technology is taking over the world. But see, even growing up, grandma, hey, you got to go outside. You got to get them involved. Keep them active. You know, keep them active out here in life. And it's not so much as you're holding on to them or you're holding them back, but you pay attention more to their life. And, you know, and that's just what it is, Mr.
You know,
Reese. You have
so
to.
Amazing. Last week I had the honor of interviewing Daisha Irvin, who is this 2019 Muskogee County School District Teacher of the Year.
Okay.
And she basically said exactly what you just said.
Oh, wow.
About reaching our children and about not giving up on them and about you got to meet them where they are.
Yeah, patience.
You can't expect them to come to you. Patience.
Yeah, you got
to
have patience.
About creativity.
Yes.
You know,
and she
talked about thinking and learning outside of the box.
Right.
You know, doing things different than the way it's presented in the curriculum.
Right.
Because everybody's not designed to learn the same way.
They not.
So I think that's so awesome. And I think it's amazing that you, as now a young professional in our community,
right,
that you're taking time out to be of assistance and to be of guidance and mentorship to other young people so that they don't make the same mistake that you made.
Yes.
So you know, right now, I know you're working from like a financial guidance and professional perspective. How is that working out for you?
It's going great. I've been in business for myself for about a year and a half, and I'm in finance. I teach people how to make, save, and accumulate money. And so, you know, even in school, taking all these maths and economics, like I said, they're not teaching us this, how to save our money and create generational wealth. And then I'm licensed amongst and a few other things. So I've been able to help over 140 families, and, you know, knowledge is power. So to be able to continue to teach people, whether older or younger, you know, not to prepare for just today, prepare for our kids' future, and prepare for our future is key, because we say, okay, one day at a time. Well, it's just not your day. First of all, God has you here for that day. But then second, if you have kids, yeah, you're living for yourself, but now you got to live for them, because now you got to guide them and take them to different directions and different places. Not only goal set and mindset, but you got to take them through different levels in their heart, in their head, because you have to guide them, you know?
We must guide them. And Mr. Charlie Walker, my friend, we're going to use that as our closing comments. We got to guide them.
Yeah.
You cannot change the trajectory of our youth sitting behind some cushy desk or stuck at your office where you vote as... You get what I'm saying. You got to get in the streets.
Right.
And if we're not in the streets, if we're not standing on the corner with them, talking to them, if we're not meeting them at these playgrounds, if we're not meeting them at the recreational center, if we're not talking to them at the football games and at the basketball games, if they never see us, But we expect them to bow down to us and show us ultimate respect when we do show up periodically.
Right.
We're going to continue to have problems.
Always.
It's just
always
as simple as that.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get in the community.
Right.
All of our leaders need to be in the community.
Right.
Point blank.
Point
and
blank.
And if you can't do that, as my grandma used to say, if you're not going to use the pot, get up.
Yeah, you got to get up.
Get up.
You got to get up. And of course, like I said, you keep God first, because without him and putting him first, now I ended up going through all that, but ended up with 2 college degrees. I was an All-American.
Praise God.
Had look a chance to play for and work out for the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, without God's glory, that wouldn't have been possible.
It wouldn't have been possible.
It wouldn't have been possible.
It wouldn't have been possible. Mr. Walker, Charlie Walker, thank you so much for sharing your story, your passionate story. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Parents, guardians, grandparents, I hope that this is a show that you will make sure that your young people listen to.
Right.
Because he has the story to tell so that we don't, and none of our kids, have to experience what he went through, heartbreak and setback. And so we can change that trajectory, and we will certainly do that. I hope you enjoyed the show. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. See you next Sunday.
Okay, guys, be blessed.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and its radio programs are not to be considered necessarily the beliefs of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.